We're continuing in Likutei Halachos,
Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis,
Hilchos Birchas Horeiya,
uBirchas Proteus, Halacha Aleph. In the standard 8 volume editions, it's page 332, the middle of the right hand column. Rav Nosson Zal says that the 12 Shvatim give life to the entire year because Hashem created the world originally Bishvil Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. Everything was created for Klal Yisrael, including time and place. Now, this, the physical world that we live in, which is structured basically on two yesodos, which are time and place, zman and mokoim. So the zman is plugged into Klal Yisrael, the zmanim, in the aspect of 12 months of the year corresponding to the 12 shvatim, and so too there are different places in the world that are plugged into to Klal Yisrael, all the different places in the world. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Ve'ikra chiyas al yidei sheYisrael shehem yud bei shvatim nichlolim ze bo ze. Ayidei ze nimsha chiyas liyud bei chodshi hashana. How does Klal Yisrael best inject life into the year? When Klal Yisrael is plugged into each other, when the twelve shvatim are united, and they're giving and receiving to each other, they're beaming and blasting off each other, then they're pumping life into the 12 months of the year. And therefore, if a Jew has not seen a close friend for a period of 12 months, and now he's first seeing him, he has to make this bracha that Hashem gives life to those that are dead. Because once they let 12 months go by without seeing each other, now they have to draw. They have to draw a new life. Ki al kol ponim, hem tzrichim liroi zeh zeh pamachas bashona, kedei sheyu nechlolim zeh bo zeh, v'yanim shechius lechol hashona, shemekabel et hachius miyud bei shvotim, ha'yidei shenechlolim zeh bo zeh. Because Rav Nosson Zal says the minimum that Jews need to see each other is once a year, so that again they merge with each other, they receive and give to each other, and thereby they're able to shine chiyus, to inject spiritual life into the year, which receives its spiritual life from the Yud Bei Shvatim, from the 12 Shvatim, from Klal Yisrael, by Klal Yisrael receiving and giving to each other, by them being plugged into each other properly. And therefore, if they didn't see each other for a period of 12 months, those 12 months were a bechina of meis, a bechina of dead, and now we need a tchias ha-meisim. Now we have to start life anew. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'zeh bechinas bar beirav dechad yoima. And this, with this, we can understand the concept that the Gemara says that there was a certain student who had to travel 364 days to be able to come to the yeshiva one day a year. He had to travel, 182 days one direction, 182 days in the other direction, and then he was able to be in the yeshiva for one day. Shedorash loy hatana posuk v'oisi yoim yoim yidroshun. And one of the rabbis said about this student that about him is written the posuk that Hashem says, me, you will seek for one day. And the Gemara learns that over there, that this one day a year that this student would go to the yeshiva, would meet with his Rebbe in the yeshiva, that one day was an injection for the entire year. That one day gave nourishment to the entire year. Because a person has to see the Tzadik Hador, his Rabbi, the Tzadik, once a year at least, in order to be able to receive life for the entire year. Because as we said before, Moshe Rabbeinu is a composite of all of Klal Yisrael, of all Yud Bei Shvatim. So if we talk about the Yud Bei Shvatim injecting life into the Yud Bei Chodshi Hashana, when a person sees the Tzaddik, he is one person who's all 12 Shvatim rolled up into one, and he beams into all 12 months of the year. And so too, when there are friends who like each other, and therefore They need to give and receive to each other. Kihein mishere shechot kanal, because as we said earlier, that when two people really like each other, it's obvious that they come from one shoresh neshama. They come from one place by the kisei hakavod. We're going to come back to this in a moment. Therefore, heim tzrichim gam kein liroi zeh zeh al kol ponim pamachas b'shana kal. Therefore, they have an obligation to see each other at least once a year. V'al kein kishenu roi es chaveroi ad lachar yud beis chodesh. And therefore, if 12 months went by and they didn't see each other, mevorech mechaye hamesim. They make the bracha mechaye hamesim, ki zeh bechinas tchias hamesim mamish. Because it's mamish, a concept of bringing something dead back to life. Ki ikar hachias al yidei horeiyo sharoyin zezer, because the main thing that generates life is by them seeing each other. Shaydei zeh nimshach b'chinas tchias hameisim kanal. As Rabbeinu Zal mentioned earlier, that when the tzaddik sees a person, he shines tchias hameisim into that person. And every Jew is an aspect of tzaddik. So when a Jew sees another Jew, he shines an aspect of Tchias HaMeisim into that person. I once had the privilege of looking into the Sefer Noam Elimelech, and in one of the where he speaks about based on Parshas HaShavua, and in one of the Parshas he asks a question: how is it that sometimes you have people who live right next door to each other, or people who are even physically related to each other, cousins, who just about have no contact and no connection with each other? You could have two people who are next door neighbors for 25 years, and the most they ever said to each other was good morning, you know, if they're decent. And some people don't even do that. Even though they're right next to each other, or again in certain cases, even relatives, people who are blood relatives. And on the other hand, the Noam Elimelech says, sometimes you have two people who meet each other at some point in life, and after an hour, or after, you know, as soon as they make the connection, it's a deja vu. It's as if they knew each other for the past 25 years. And it's if they're mamish, they're mamish like friends, and there's a trust. What kind of trust? I don't even know you. I know you for an hour. How do I feel trusting towards you? And how do I feel that mamish, like we're so connected? And the Noam Elimelech says, it's really very simple. We know that the neshamas originate from the throne of Hashem, from the kisei hakavod of Hashem. If two neshamas over there were close to each other, are from the same shoresh, they're close to each other, then when they get sent down to work to the world, even if one winds up in Australia and the other one winds up in Manchuria, the second they meet each other and they connect, it's my long-lost friend. And there's an intuition, there's a feeling inside. They know that they're connected. And again, in some cases, closer than family, closer than neighbors, etc. Whereas, if you have two neshamas, that over there by the kisei hakavod, they were not next door neighbors, they were not close to each other, but rather they're on opposite ends, etc. Obviously, we're not talking physically, we're talking spiritual terms. Then they could live in the same house. And they could be blood, and it doesn't mean anything. They somehow, spiritually, they feel miles apart. You know, there's no connection, there's no kesher. And Rav Nosson Zal is obviously making reference to this here in telling us that when two friends see each other, then right away there's this makablan daimendain, this one's transmitting, this one's receiving, the next minute it's reversed, he's transmitting, the other one's receiving, and there's this chiyas v'kedusha that's being injected from one into the other. And when time goes by that they don't see each other, they're dying to see each other. And again, they're dying literally. There's a bechina of misa that exists in the fact that they're not seeing each other, they're not receiving chiyas from each other. V'zeh b'chinas ma shomer Yaakov l'Yosef. Rav Nosson Zal says, now we can tie this in with what Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef HaTzadik when they had been separated for 22 years. And when he saw Yosef HaTzadik after that separation, Amuso hapam, now I'm ready to die, achrei roisi es ponecha, after having seen your face. Ki Yaakov ze b'chinas klolius Yisroel. because Yaakov Avinu represents the entire Klal Yisrael. He symbolizes the entire Klal Yisrael. We are all called Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, Ki Kol Yisrael Nikroim Al Shem Yaakov, Shenikra Shema Yisrael, because all of us are named Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. Ki Yaakov Hu Kol Yis Kol Nefoshes Beis Yisrael, Kmoi Shomra Zal Rabbeinu Zav Mokmacher, because Yaakov Avinu is a composite of the entire Klal Yisrael. Again, he's the one who gave birth to all 12 tribes. All 12 are Nichlal in him. He's the one who lay down on all the 12 rocks, wanted him to lie down, and all of them combined became into one, merged into one to go under his head, because he is the composite of all 12 of them. The Yosef hu bechinas tzadik hador kamuva, and Yosef HaTzadik is the symbol of tzadik. The word Yosef is bigimatria 6 times yud kei vav kei, corresponding to the sphere of Yisoid. We're in the middle of counting the Omer now, so we're learning about the spheros. Yisoid is the sphere of tzaddik, as the pasuk says, v'tzaddik Yisoid olam. So Yosef HaTzaddik represents the aspect of tzaddik hador. V'alkein bo'eis sheroyin es atzmoi klal Yisrael im atzaddik emes shubchin es Yosef. Therefore, when Yaakov Avinu, who represents the entire Am Yisrael, when he comes and he's seen by Yosef HaTzadik, Azai hu bechinas v'yemer Yisrael ad Yosef amusa pam achrei roisis panecha. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu was able to say these words, Upirish Rashi. Rashi Kodesh explains the words by saying that what Yaakov Avinu was saying was, Sovor hoyisi lomus shtei misois bo'ilam haza bo'ilam haba. I thought that I was actually dying 2 deaths in this world and in the next world. Achshov loyomus rak pamachad. Whereas now I know that I'm only going to die 1 death. Hainu kanal, as we explained earlier. Ki al yedei she Yisroel royin es atzmon imat tzadik shubchin es Yosef. Because when a Jew comes to see and to be seen by the tzaddik, who is b'chin as Yosef, that then the Jew is zoiche to be given permanent life, eternal life, b'chin as tchias ha-meisen. V'yalkein oz betuchim bevadai shelo yemusu rak pamachas. And then the Jew knows that at worst, he's only going to die once. He'll die physically from leaving this world. Ki boilam haba yizku l'chaim nitzchiyim. Because after physically dying, in the future world, he will be zechet to eternal life. V'yichyu b'tchiyas ha-meisen, and he will live in tchiyas ha-meisen. Ki al yidei re'iyas ha-tzadik zoichin l'tchiyas ha-meisen. Because by the tzadik looking at a person, he shines into that person a tchiyas ha-meisen, b'chinas chaim nitzchiyim, which is eternal life. B'chinas v'tchi ruach Yaakov. As the Torah says that the spirit of Yaakov came to life, kishenizbasel ibsuras Yosef, when he was told about the tzaddik, about Yosef HaTzaddik. Ki ikar chiyus Yisroel al yidei hatzaddik hoemes bechinas Yosef, because the main definition of a Jew or Klal Yisrael being alive, they draw their life from the tzaddik emes. The tzaddik emes is called tzaddik chai almen. He is the one who is mashpia chiyus. Ki al yidei sheroyin es atzmo imoy. Because by a Jew or Klal Yisrael seeing the tzaddik and being seen by the tzaddik, al yidei ze nase tchias ha-meisen. This actually, it causes a hisnoitetzus ha-moichin, as we explained earlier. It causes an activation of chachma, and chachma is chiyus. And it brings about a hischachus of biuri haTorah, and it brings about shiflus, and shiflus is tchias ha-meisim. So that's what it leads to. Kaidei sheroyin es atzmo imoy, by seeing and being seen by the tzaddik, haidei ze nase tchias ha-meisim, b'chinas chaim nitzchiyim. This is what leads to an aspect of the dead being brought back to life, which is the concept of eternal life. An interesting connected item. Rabbeinu Zal here is speaking about seeing the person physically. We know also that the Gemara says that when a person writes something, they put their soul into their writing. The words that they're writing are an expression of the person. Just like the eyes of a person are an expression of that person. A person is beaming some of themselves through their eyes,
so they're beaming some of themselves through what they write. As the Gemara quotes, says, Anoichi, the opening word of the Aseres Hadibros Anoichi is, Ano nafshi ksavis yehovis. I put my soul into my writing. So that, kaviyochel, if we want to look at Hashem, the Arizal says that when they do Hagba on the Sefer Torah in Shul, and the Sefer Torah is open, a person should come over and look at the letters. Stand close enough, if possible, to be able to read the letters. Because the Arizal says that at that time that the Sefer Torah is open, those letters are beaming. Chiyas Digdusha. They're beaming very powerful stuff. And a person who bothers themselves and makes it their business to interrupt whatever they're doing in shul and walk up to the Sefer Torah and to see that, to see the Sefer Torah being opened and to see those letters there, they receive a tremendous he'orah, a tremendous light that's being beamed at that time. Lahavdil, lahavdil, lahavdil. Sarcastic, jokingly a little bit, but there's always a little bit of truth in every joke. People that are communicating to each other through computers even. And sometimes you have video, you can see each other, you can mamish see each other. And sometimes you can't see each other, you can only see the other person writes you a message. He's writing, in his words is the person. His name is the person, and the words that he's writing, we should be zecha b'emes to this, so mekablin deim deim, to receive from each other what we're supposed to, and to be zecha to the opposite, the tragedy of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Their Rebbe is the one who announced to Klal Yisrael that v'yahavta l'reicha kamoicha zeh klal gadol b'Torah, that if a Jew wants to live, his living, his life is dependent on the avas ha-chaverim, the interaction between chaverim, seeing each other and loving each other and showing with each other and transmitting to each other. And unfortunately, his Talmidim, as great as they were in learning and in many, many other items, a deficiency in avas ha-chaverim resulted in death, in 24,000 tzaddikim, Kedoshim, dying, Rachman al-Islam. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoizal, whose day is coming up in a few days, we're at 28 now, we have 5 days to go to Lag BaOmer, to that awesome Yontif of Lag BaOmer, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoizal, who was a student, one of the best students of Rabbi Akiva, he said to his students in the Zohar HaKadosh, Anan b'chavivusa tal yamilsa, our success, how we, the seven of us, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochoizal said, him and his six students, or at one time it was even him and four students, he said, we're going to succeed where Rabbi Akiva, where my rabbi's students didn't, because Ananda Chavivusa Talia Milsa, because we understand that our success is completely dependent on the Ava between all of us. And by us, the Ava is Beshlemus, therefore we will live. We'll live, we won't die. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when Rabbi Shimon Yochoizal passed away, the last statement that he made, the last words off his lips were, V'atem hadveikim b'shem alekechem chayim, and then his neshama, he stopped at that word chayim. Because he passed away with the word chayim because he was the ultimate living Jew, or the ultimate in chayim chiyas digdusha, because he and his Talmidim succeeded in having this ava. We should be zecha that the followers of Rabbeinu Zal especially should learn this lesson and to have this Ava and Shalom Lidusha, and we should be able to spread it to all of Klal Yisrael, because this will surely be the item. The Zohar HaKadosh says in one place that if one shul, Beiknishta Chodah, Oy Mosa Chodah, we're going to have this in the Kutei Halacha soon, gets together and there's unity in them, they're united, there's Ava and Shalom between them, Moshiach will come. To contribute our part to making that happen. Following Hilchas Hoidah, we're doing Inyan HaTovas Chaloyim Halacha Beis. That's how it's listed here in the standard 8-volume sets of Likutei Halachos, page 332. Rav Nosson Zal says that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that HaTovas Chaloyim Nisgan B'loshen Targum. If a person, if a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, has a very bad type of dream, so the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us how it's possible to correct that. And the person has to come before three people, and they say certain things to him. Part of what they say is in Aramaic. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki ha-chaloim al yedei ha-tardema, shehu b'chinas targum, b'chinas noiga, shehu ma'urov toivora. We know that Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 19, in the first half of Likut Imran, there Rabbeinu Zal speaks a lot about the topic of Targum, the language of Aramaic, versus Lashon HaKodesh, and versus the other standard languages of the 70 nations. And Rabbeinu Zal explains there, based on the writings of the Arizal and the Zohar HaKodesh, that Targum is an intermediary between Lashon HaKodesh and the languages of the nations. So the Targum is referred to as Noiga, Klipas Noiga, which is also an intermediary between the three Klipos that are considered to be all bad, completely bad, versus the Kedusha, the holiness. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us there also from the Arizal that the word Tardemo is Begimatria Targum, to show that those two go together. That Tardemo, which means a deep sleep, which where a person, the state that a person is usually in when they have a dream, that state is a state of being in a state of Targum, in a state of Klipas Noiga, which is good and bad mixed together. And this is why very often a person has a dream and the dream has to be sorted out. You have to be able to extract the portion of it that's true from the untruth. V'derech shom oilen linak me'agdusha. And it's via Klipas Noiga, it's via the Tardema, via the Targum, that the Klipos have the ability to draw from the Kedusha. So that in effect this Klipas Noiga is sort of like a bridge between the Sitrachra and the Kedusha. Ayin shom b'maymar tfira l'chavakuk b'sinim yutes. Rav Nosson Zal says, you can look this up for more information, in the chapter that's entitled Tfila l'chavakuk, which is chapter 19 in the first half of Likut Imran. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what's written there, V'alkein meitiven oisam b'loshon targum. Based on that, you can understand why, when people want to correct a bad dream that a person had, they do it in the language of Aramaic. They have to say certain words in Targum. Kedei l'sakim b'chinas hachaloyim b'chinas hatardemanal, in order to correct the concept of a dream, which is a concept of tardema, something that takes place in a deep sleep, sheyeh nichlal b'kedusha, that the dream, the tardema, the Targum, should be brought into the Kedusha. Ki b'chinas Targum hu memutza bein tov v'ra, because this item called Targum is an intermediary between good and bad, meaning between Kedusha and Sitrachra, and it's also mixed, it has both in it. It has Toiv and Ra in it. Now Rav Nosson Zal points out, he quotes from that chapter in Likut Imran, U'kishayesh shleimus loshna kodesh, when a person is zeichet to perfect their loshna kodesh, which Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in Likut Imran, hu nichlal betoiv. That's when the Targum gets merged into the side of good. Dahainu b'loshon HaKodesh. The Targum becomes nichlal in Loshon HaKodesh. V'zeh shom Rabbi Sein Zechon Avrocha. And this is why the Gemara tells us, kol hachalomo yischolchin achar ha-peh, that the dreams of a person follow their interpretation, how they're interpreted by the mouth of the one who's interpreting them. Ki achaloim shubachinas targum lefi hamokom shemamshichin oisoi kein nasa v'nichlal shom. Because dreams, which are an aspect of targum, because dreams take place during tardema, and dreams are also something that are mixed with good and bad, falsehood and truth, they follow the place that they're being drawn to, the place that they're being pushed to. And therefore, it follows the interpretation and the mouth of the one who's interpreting the dream. If the one who's interpreting the dream gives a positive interpretation, then the dream is nichlal in good. And the opposite is also true. And this is why, in the procedure for correcting a bad dream, the standard procedure is that the one who had the dream and the ones who are trying to correct the dream for him, they announce, Chelma Tovo, what you saw is a good dream. Dahainu loymar shachaloim hu bebchinas toiv, v'nichlal betoiv. What they are trying to state and to declare is that this dream is good. We want it to be plugged into the side of good. Bebechinas loshna kodesh. We want to try to plug in this dream, which is an aspect of tardema, targum, mega. We want to try to plug it into the loshna kodesh, the side of kedusha, the side of good. And this is why the Gemara says that it must be said in Aramaic, chelma tova, instead of chaloim toiv. Kedei lahalo is hatoiv shebetargum, shubachinas hachaloim, lubachinas loshna kodesh shu hatoiv. Because what we're trying to show is that we realize that the dream corresponds to the concept of targum, Aramaic, and we're trying to plug it into good. We're trying to plug it into loshna kodesh. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, based on this, we could also understand why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if a person has this type of bad dream, Rachman Slan, a terrible type of dream, which the Shulchan Aruch describes what the details of it are, Chas V'Shalom, a person sees a close relative pass away in a dream, things like that, V'zeh Shemisanen Ala Chaloim. The Shulchan Aruch says that one of the things that a person does to see to it that the dream shouldn't have any negative effects is to take on a tainus cholim, a fast for the bad dream. And in fact, in halacha, this is one of the most powerful types of fasts, one of the strictest types of fasts that there is. If a person takes it on, it has very strict laws. Even to the extent that it could be doiche Shabbos, in terms of fasting on Shabbos, etc. Ki hachaloim bo al yidei koyach hamedame, shu b'chinas behemo, koyach habehemius. Because we know, Rabbeinu Zal tells us in the Likutei Moharan, that dreams come from an aspect of koyach hamedame, the ability of a person to fantasize, to imagine. Shehu b'chinas behemo, which is an aspect of behemo. That's not called clear das. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal, Likutei Moharan speaks about das, where a person understands something perfectly, clearly, and well, which is referred to, which is associated with man, with Adam, versus dimyoin, or koyach hamedame, which is fantasizing, or imagining, or a person thinking, or seeing something and thinking it's a certain item, where it's not necessarily, that's associated with behemoth, because even though animals see, we're told that their vision is a much weaker vision than the vision of man. So Rav Nosson Zal says, so therefore a dream which is associated with koyach hamedama, with dimyoin, is an aspect of behema, koyach habehemius. Val yedei hatainis yoitzim mebchinas behema lebchinas odom, kimavur b'maimar dirshu b'shesimim lamed zayin. And we know that Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 37, in the first half of the Likutei Moharan, that when a person wants to leave the category of behema and enter into the category of odom, one of the ways that a person elevates themselves in that manner is by fasting. Now Rav Nosson Zal says one additional point. Gam hachaloim bo al yidei ma'acholim, kimavur b'divrei Rabbeinu inyin ze ktsas. We know also that dreams are very much affected by what a person eats. As Rabbeinu Zal says, talks about this in the Likutei Moharan, that when a person eats at night, the vapors from the food that the person ate go up to the brain of the person, and they have an effect on the dreams of the person. We know the Gemara speaks about chaloyim al yedei malach versus chaloyim al yedei shed, shin dalet, that there are two types of dreams. There are dreams that are good dreams, and there are dreams that are truthful dreams, and the Gemara tells us that those dreams are brought to a person via an angel, versus chas v'shalom bad dreams, or dreams that are false. Those dreams come via the other side, the shin davids, that side. And Rabbeinu Zal tells us in the Likutei Moharan that the word malach is the same letters as the word ma'achol, mem aleph chof lamed, so that the food that a person eats has a serious effect on the dreams. V'alkein misanin, and therefore when a person chas v'shalom had a terrible type of dream, part of rectifying that is fasting. Lehachnia taiva sachila, thereby being machnia, the wrong type of desire for food, lesakein pigam hamacholim, and to rectify, to correct any pigam that a person had in eating. and thereby affecting a tikkun for the dream itself, which is associated with the food, as we said. Regarding the issue of fasting, we know that Rabbeinu Zal, who himself fasted quite a bit in his youth in trying to purify himself and elevate himself, Rabbeinu Zal in his later years in life emphasized to his students not to go that route, meaning to accept the standard fasts, of course, that the Shulchan Aruch tells us, but not to look to impose additional fasts on oneself that are not included in the framework of halacha, etc. This does not include this concept of Tainus Cholam. This item of Tainus Cholam is discussed in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch as a very, very important item. And again, certain other fasts, like a Tainus Yortzeit, if a person has Yortzeit for parents, and a person decides to accept a fast upon themselves that day, those are not or the Tainus of Bahab, or the Tainus of Yom Kippur Kotten, for instance, today, those are fasts that Rabbeinu Zal was not speaking out against. He was talking about a person who, in their own path of tshuva, chooses to impose upon themselves fasts that are not included in halacha whatsoever. Mitzad chasidus, mitzad extra religiosity. And that, Rabbeinu Zal said, that a person is much, much better off going the route of hispoidus, that a person could accomplish much more with tefillah than they could accomplish through fasting. The next topic that Rabbeinu Zal discusses is Inyan Birchas Shehechiyanu, which he calls Halacha Gimel. In fact, just to clarify, these halachas that we're learning now fall under the category of Hilchas Birchas Horeiya U'Sha'ar Brochos Protius, that it's speaking about detailed brachas, like the brachas that are made, you know, regarding a person seeing certain things when they make Shechianu, and also Rav Nosson Zal included in it this thing, you know, Hatovas Chaloyim. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to address the brach of Shechianu that we make on certain special occasions. Iker Shechianu Berugolim Kimavur Begamora. The main time that a Jew makes that all of Klal Yisrael makes the bracha Shechianu is on the holidays. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Kimavur B'Gemara, as is discussed in the Gemara. V'chachomim hoisifu oid afilu aperi chodosh. And our rabbis have added to this that even when a person eats a new fruit that they haven't eaten that entire season, they also make a Shechianu on that. Kimo Shekosav, as the Gemara tells us, Ano akro chadato nam yamin hazman. One of the rabbis said that even when I eat this new type of fruit, I also make the bracha of zman, the bracha of Shechianu. V'chein al kol ha-toivois v'hasmochois mevorchim Shechianu. And so too, regarding any wonderful item that happens to a person or a major simcha, we make the bracha Shechianu. For instance, here in Eretz Yisrael, the custom is that at a bris milah, the Baal Bris says the bracha Shechianu. And we know again that there are other occasions like that. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki isa b'maymar uv'yoyim habikurim shel Rabbi Yehuda Hindua mishtoi b'likut imran tanina siman dalet. Rabbeinu Zal explains to us in chapter 4 in the second half of Likut Imran, which is entitled uv'yoyim habikurim and Rabbi Yehuda Hindua oimer, shal yedei yoyim toiv nizgale horotzoim. Rabbeinu Zal there explains that there are two types of hanhoga of Hashem. There's what we refer to as teva, whereby kaviyochel Hashem appears to be keeping a very low profile, where it's not obvious, it's what we refer to sometimes as autopilot, where a person doesn't see in any obvious way the direct intervention of Hashem. To see that there is a Hashem at the controls and who is guiding every step of what takes place. When things are in a mode of teva, that's when it's very possible for those that want to choose to believe that chas v'shalom, there is no Hashem. Things are going according to their random way. You know, the sun rises in the morning, sets in the evening, there are the seasons, and it all follows a natural path. It follows certain laws of what people call Mother Nature. Versus, when Hashem chooses to intervene and to override nature and to make miracles occur, That's referred to, that Rabbeinu Zal refers to in that chapter in the Likutei Moran as Hizgalus Harotzaim, whereby Hashem shows everybody, he reveals and shows everybody, that nothing is on autopilot, but anything that's happening is happening because of the Rotzaim of Hashem, and that Hashem's Rotzaim is what dictates what should happen, what shouldn't happen. And there, Rav Nosson Zal says that this is actually what we celebrate when we celebrate each one of the holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, because each one of those holidays is commemorating a major miracle or a series of miracles. On Pesach, it's the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. On Shavuos, it's all the miracles that took place at Matan Torah. And on Sukkos, it's the miracle of the clouds that accompany the Jews throughout their stay in the desert. Rabbeinu Zal says there in the Likutei Moran that each one of the holidays is a major occasion of Hizgalus Harotzaim, where Hashem is showing that everything that goes on in this world is only based on Rotzaim Hashem, not on any teva, not on any autopilot whatsoever. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that this is what's meant when we say in the Kiddush on Yom Tov, Mikra Kodesh, or Mikroi Kodesh. Mikra means to announce, that the holidays scream forth Hashem's holiness, Hashem's greatness. We'll go back into the Likutei Halachos now. Shehayom Tov Koirei Umachriz Es Harotzaim. The Yom Tov, the fact that we're celebrating a holiday, which means we're showing that we believe in the miracles that took place on this occasion and we're commemorating it, that's the Yom Tov announces Es Harotzaim, the Rotzaim of Hashem, Shehakol Bertzaynoi. That everything that takes place in this world is following the Rotzon of Hashem, the Ein Chiyuv HaTeva Klal Uklal Ein Shom, and there is no concept of Mother Nature that the world is locked into in any way, but rather the world is always in the hands of Hashem, within the hands of Hashem, and being guided by the Rotzon of Hashem, whether it's obvious, such as when miracles takes place, or whether it's less obvious, such as when Hashem chooses to conduct the world al pi hateva, al pi derech hateva. The Arizal tells us that the word hateva is bigematria Elohim, so that kaviyochel, when Hashem is allowing the world to follow what we call teva, that hanhog of Hashem is referred to as the hanhog of Elohim, midas hadin, hastoro, halomo. Whereas when Hashem chooses to intervene, to interrupt the Teva, and to show clear miracles, that Hanhoga is referred to as Yud Kei Vav Kei, the kind that Hashem showing His kindness with those miracles. And when we say Hashem Hu Hu Elohim, that Hashem and Elohim are one, what we're saying is that there is no separate entity called Teva. Teva is also Hashem. It's one of the formats of Hashem's behavior. I remember my father-in-law, Rabbi Rosenberg, once mentioned that when we say Hashem, Hashem and Elohim are one, that if you look at Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is Bigimatria 26, which is Chof Vav in Hebrew. If you take the letters Chof Vav, the way they're pronounced, Chof is Chof Pei, Vav is Vav, Vav. It's as if there were a Vav with a comet under it, and then another Vav. So that the Milui of Yud Kei Vav Kei is Pei Vav, which is Bigimatri Elohim. This is an example of Alpi Kabbalah, where we see how the Elohim is included in the Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's part of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And in fact, the Zohar Kodesh says that the word Milui, Mem Yud Lamed Vav, or Mem Lamed Vav Yud, is Bigimatri Elohim. Also, now Rav Nosson Zal says, this halacha Likutei Halachos is very short, but it's extremely powerful in expressing one of the most important concepts in Yiddishkeit. V'zeh b'chinas birchas shechiyonu shemavorchem b'yontif achra kiddush, achra shemekachnes ha-yontif, b'chinas mikro kodesh, zeichel yitzias mitzroyim shemra b'kiddush. Now we're going to explain, Rav Nosson Zal says, and we'll be able to understand why, after a person makes Kiddush on the night of Yom Tov, whereby in the Kiddush he says those words, Mikroi Kodesh, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mikro Kodesh. Mikro Kodesh means he's announcing the holiness. He's announcing the holiness and specialness of the day. In what's special about it? That it's a day of Hizgalus Harotzon. And right after that, we say the bracha Shechiyonu. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki ikra hamikro kodesh wa yidei zecher litzias mitzroim, she'oz oso imanu oisois neroes. Because the main announcement of the holiness of the day is based on the fact that all three holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, commemorate Yitzias Mitzrayim. They're all tied into Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a time when Hashem performed awesome miracles for us. Ulezikoroin, oisan oisis, oisan oisois, and in order to commemorate those miracles, Shosiman was Yitzias Mitzrayim, which Hashem performed for us during Yitzias Mitzrayim, whether it's immediately at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the holiday of Pesach, or whether it's 50 days afterwards, the miracles at Har Sinai, or whether it's the miracles which we experienced throughout our travel in the desert where the clouds accompanied us, which is what we commemorate Sukkot for. Anuoisim hayomim toivim. In order to remember and commemorate those miracles, we make these holidays. And it's based on that we're commemorating the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why these holidays are referred to as Mikra Kodesh. Dahainu shehim koirin umegalenes horotzoin alidei hoisois honoroi shosim onobos nazmanim shas Yitzias Mitzrayim. Each one of these holidays proclaims and broadcasts and reveals the rotzoin of Hashem through the miracles that Hashem performed with us on the days that we celebrate these holidays during the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Va'ayin heitev b'maymor hanal, look over carefully that chapter on Likut Imran, chapter 4, in the second half of Likut Imran, v'tovin hadvorim heitev, and you'll understand what we're saying here very well, this concept of Mikro Kodesh, Hizgalus HaRotzon. In Likut Imran there, Rabbeinu Zal broadens this discussion. V'al kein b'yoyim toiv achra kiddush os mevorchem shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yomu l'zman hazeh. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on this, you'll understand why on these holidays, following the kiddush in which we say mikro kodesh, we make this brocha shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yomu. Ki ha-brocha zu shaycho shapir liyontif shehu hizgalus harotzon. Because the brocha of shechiyonu is very, very appropriate and fitting for Yontif, which is a time of Hizgalus HaRotzon. Vayidei zeh naaseh simchas Yontif, kemo shekosov shom. And it's through this Hizgalus HaRotzon, that's the joy of Yontif. In other words, when a person asks, what are we happy about on Yontif? We're happy about the miracles that took place, which showed us that Hashem is alive and well, and Hashem is at the controls, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. Everything's okay, and everything's going to be okay. Kemo shekosu sham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains there in the Likut Imran. Vezehu shechiyonu. Now you'll understand why we make this brocha shechiyonu. Ki ikar hachius hu rak al yidei hizgalus harotzon. Because the main concept of a person feeling alive and living, really living well in this world, is dependent on Hizgalus HaRotzon. It's dependent on the person's awareness and faith regarding Hashem's presence. Ki kisheyoidim shehakol b'rtzoinu yizborach vein shum teva klal, azai yesh chiyus. Because when a person realizes fully that everything that's taking place is only Rotzon Hashem, and there is no autopilot, there is no Teva, then that person really lives, that person really enjoys life and is satisfied with their life. Ki azai hachayim chayim. Because when a person has that faith and that realization, then that person's life is worth living, and it's called living, versus just simply existing. Ukemoy sheshamati mi Rabbeinu Neir Yoyer, Rav Nosson Zal says, as I heard from Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal paraphrased what was saying here by saying, Shemi she'ein lo yemuna, v'noite achar chochmas hateva, ein chayov chayim. A person who doesn't have faith, they don't believe in Hashem, they don't believe in Hashgacha Prati, that every single thing that takes place in this world is directly under the supervision of Hashem, but rather they believe in science and nature and those things, that person's life is not really called living. Ki ein lo shum nachas ruach. That person never really experiences a deep satisfaction with life. Because life in this world is full of suffering. Everybody suffers. The poor people, the rich people, the smart people, the dumb people, the religious people, the irreligious people. And therefore, a person who believes in Hashem and believes that nothing is coincidental, nothing is natural, but rather everything is purely an act of Hashem, Oz Yesh Lo Chayim, that person lives. Because when that person is experiencing good things, good tidings, good happenings, Bevadai Toiv, then of course they're thrilled. Wow, I'm in the good graces of Hashem. Look what Hashem did for me. Look how lucky I am that I have this occasion. I'm marrying off a child. I'm making a bris. I bought a new house. I got a new car. I got a raise at my job. I'm learning that, you know, whatever it is. Whatever is the good item. And even when that such a person is experiencing hardship of any type, Gam Kein Toiv, that person will also be able to look at it as being good and positive. Because if the person realizes that everything that happens to me, including this seemingly negative item, an illness, a financial setback, or a religious, anything, as soon as the person realizes that shehakol meito yisbarach, that it's all coming from Hashem, then we know the Gemara says, kol man da'ovid rachmono letav ovid, that whatever Hashem does it only for our benefit, for our good. Ve'ein shum ra ba'olam klal. There is no such thing as Hashem doing something bad, chas v'shalom. Rak hakol toiv, but rather everything that comes from Hashem is good. Just as we say in Tehillim, in Ashrei, toiv Hashem lakol. Hashem is good to everybody, whether it seems to be good or whether it seems negative. Or as the Tikkun HaZohar says, that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud is 10, which in Mispar Koton is 1. He is 5. 1 plus 5 is 6. Vav is another 6. 6 plus 6 is 12. Plus He plus another 5 is 17, which is Bigimatria Toiv. Hashem's name is Toiv. And we make a brach in Shemone Esrei, HaToiv Shimcha Ulechonu Elohidois. Hashem, your name, you are called good. You are goodness. Rak HaKol Toiv, but rather everything is good. Me'acha Shemaminim Shakol Meitois Baruch. Once the person believes that everything that happens is from Hashem. Avomi Shehu Koifer Chas V'Shalom. Whereas a person who doesn't believe in Hashem, denies Hashem, they deny the concept of Hashgacha Prati, and rather, when things happen to them, whether it's bad things or good things, they say it's coincidence or it's natural. It happens through nature. They don't put it on Hashem. They don't say Hashem did this or Hashem gave this to me, etc. Ein chayov chayim klal. That person's life is not called living. That's not living. That's existing at best. Because the moment that person experiences anything that isn't going their way, or they perceive it isn't going their way, taketh ein loy chayim klal. That person becomes what we call in Yiddish ois mensch. That person is not living. That person says, I'd rather be dead. You know, my life is horrible. Is, you know. Because such a person doesn't have what to console themselves with. That's when something bad, in quotes, bad happens to them, seemingly bad. And even when that person experiences something good. The person suddenly gets $1 million, or the person marries off a child, or any kind of occasion that we would put under the umbrella term of good, it's also meaningless to a degree to that person. Why? Kishein mamin b'hatachlis hatoiv. If the person doesn't believe in the future, in the eternity, you know, of the future. Because any kind of good in the physical world is temporary at best. A person wins the lottery, $25 million. Big deal. The guy's going to be dead either today or tomorrow or in 25 years at best or 30. He ain't taking it with him. It's not permanent. Any kind of pleasure, any kind of benefit is a temporary benefit at best. And usually, most physical, most occasions, most positive things on the physical level usually carry with them some side effects. Person's marrying off a child, there's the aggravation, there's the, all the nonsense, the seemingly bad things that go on with it that aggravate a person. So if a person believes in Hashem and they believe in eternity and Olam Haba and Hashgacha Prati, when something negative happens, the person says, big deal, are you kidding? The fact that we're performing a mitzvah of marrying, you know, the fact that our children are getting married, and this is a mitzvah, the Torah, which means this is eternal. This is forever. Even after they physically pass away, the fact that they got married has made a splash in eternity, and that will, you know, that's something that will have everlasting good results, etc. Whereas the person who doesn't believe in Hashem, doesn't believe in Hashgacha Prati, doesn't believe in Gan Eden and Gehenna, such a person, we said, even when good things happen, they don't really enjoy it. Avol kishemamin boyisbara shakol b'tzan isbara. Whereas a person who believes that everything is Ratzon Hashem, afilu kishoivor of mashoivor chas v'shalom, even when that person experiences difficult times, humanachim atzmoi, the person consoles themselves, she'aval pikein yia hakol etoivor, no, everything is going to work out good, everything is for the good, and everything is positive, it's okay, and it's going to be good, ki'ashim yizborach yirachim olov, because Hashem will certainly have rachmonis on me, v'yetiv achrisoi kanal, and the end will certainly be a good one, a positive one. Things will end up okay, whether it's now, whether it's in the future, or whether it's in the future, you know, in the next world. Nimtza, therefore, based on what we just said, we can conclude, she'ikar hachayim hurak kishimaminim b'rtzon yizborach, that when we talk about living, or living well, living nicely in this world, living is only when a person believes in Ratzon Hashem. V'zehu shonu mevorchim b'yontiv she'uzgavos haratzon shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman hazeh. Rav Nosna says, now you could understand why, especially on the holidays, which Rabbeinu Zal told us in the Kutimran that Yontif is a time of his galus haratzon, that's when we make the bracha shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu. Shechiyonu, that I'm alive. Hashem, I'm thanking you that I'm alive. Ki ikar hachius tolui rak bazman hazeh shu yomtev shu izgalos harotzayim. Because the main concept of being alive and living and enjoying life and having a fulfilling life is dependent on this day, on what this day stands for. This day which is called Yom Tov, a good day. Meaning, why is it called a good day? Because it's a day of izgalos harotzayim. It's a day where Hashem showed the world openly that everything that happens in this world is through Ratzon Hashem. Ki al yedei zeh yesh chius, because when there's his galus haratzon, when people believe in Hashem, they believe in Hashgacha Prati, that's when those people are really experiencing life and enjoying life, the chay of chayim, and that's when their life is worth living. That's when their life is called living. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds on, v'chein al kol dover simcha bo l'odam. And so too, similarly, besides the holidays, in addition to the holidays, any happy thing that comes to a person could go in pre-chodosh. For example, a person is given a new fruit that they haven't had in months, you know, in the entire season. Or in malbush v'kelim chodoshim, where a person buys a new article of clothing, a new suit, you know, something like that, a significant article of clothing, or kelim chodoshim, or kiyotze, or similar to that. We also make this bracha shechiyonu. Why? Kiono maminim shakol rak al yidei ritzoni yisborach. Because we believe that everything that happens is only through Ratzon Hashem. And once a person realizes that, that everything is Ratzon Hashem, azay yesh simcha v'chiyus kanal. Such a person can experience happiness. Such a person is living a full life. That person's life is meaningful. Kim lav, because if not for that, if a person doesn't believe in Hashem, they don't believe that everything that happens is Ratzon Hashem, ein simcha v'chiyus klal afilu min ha-toivah. Then even when that person has something good happen to them, whether it's begashmias or beruchnias, anything like that, the person doesn't really enjoy it. They don't really, it doesn't make them feel fulfilled about life. Why? Ki hi toivoi veris. Because at best, any good in this world is a fleeting good. It's a passing good. Ve'ein lo shum kim klal. It doesn't have any permanence to it. So if a person doesn't believe in eternity, and they don't believe in Hashem, and they don't believe that everything that's happening is Ratzon Hashem, even when something good happens, they're extremely limited in how much they can enjoy it. Because the maximum that they can look at it as is as a temporary good, a passing type of good. Whereas, a Jew who believes that everything that happens to them is through Ratzon Hashem, azay yesh simcha, then that person rejoices and enjoys al shashem yisborach magdil chazdei v'tuvo imono. The fact that Hashem has chosen to show me His kindness, to show me His goodness, to give me something good. V'azay hachayim chayim. And such a life, such a person's life, is called living. That person is living. That person's enjoying life. That person feels fulfilled in life. And this is why you could understand that when something good happens to the person, there's his galus haratzayin, the person right away gives the credit to Hashem. When a person receives, buys a gorgeous suit, he doesn't say, I bought the, I did. He says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam shechiyonu. Hashem, thank you for giving me the money to buy this, and thank you for helping me find the right store and the right fitting and this beautiful color and the right, all the different aspects of it that I'm happy with, that I'm satisfied with. This is why we declare this bracha shechiyonu lahoros, to show ulagales, and to announce, to broadcast, She'ikar hachius al yidei hizgalus haratzon, that what's called living, what's called experiencing life and enjoying a fulfilling life in this world, is dependent on this concept of hizgalus haratzon, the realization that everything is Ratzon Hashem. Zehu shechiyonu lazman hazeh, and this is why we say I'm alive on this occasion. Shebo simcha chadosh, and now that this new happiness has entered my life, whether it's the new happiness in a new suit or a new fruit or whatever it is, or a bris meal of a child in Eretz Yisrael, shonu toilin hakol beritzon yisborach, we're showing that we associate everything with Ratzon of Hashem, u'mevorchonos yisborach al zeh, and therefore we bless Hashem for having done this wonderful good thing for us, or having bestowed this good upon us. V'zehu bi'atzmoi chiyuseinu v'kiyumeinu. And this is what makes our life fulfilled. And this is what gives us the ability to exist in this world, this physical world of turbulence and turmoil and suffering, etc. What gives us the ability to exist is our emuna in the Izgavu Sarotzan, in Hashkoch HaProti of Hashem. Ki achshov shanu smeichim ala toivo. Because now, when we're happy about something good that's entered into our lives, and we bless Hashem, and we acknowledge that this is coming from Hashem, because we believe that everything is Ratzon Hashem, al kein ato yesh lanu chiyus. Then we can say that we're experiencing life. we're experiencing true living, good living. Ki ato ha-chaim chaim kanal. Because now that I have this type of attitude and this belief, this faith, my life is worth living. It's enjoyable. It's fulfilling. And this is why in the bracha that we make, we emphasize that word, living, life. Shehechiyanu, Hashem has given us life. When? Lazman hazeh, for this occasion. Because the main concept of a person living, really living, versus existing, is dependent on this item. It's dependent on the degree that a person believes that everything that takes place in their life is Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, if it's Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem is all good, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Mipi Elyon Loisetze Horo Ki Matoiv, that from heaven only comes forth good. No, there is no evil coming from Hashem. Person who has that faith, their life is called living, they enjoy life, their life is fulfilled. And that's why on the occasions when this Hizgalos HaRotzon is more apparent, it's more obvious, we announce Shehechiyanu, we thank Hashem that we're alive, because this is what gives meaning to our life, this is what gives fulfillment to our lives, our emunah and our awareness of this Hizgalos HaRotzon of Hashem. Halacha Dalet. Rav Nosenzal says, Al pi haTorah hamatcheles da shekeneged kol minei machlokes v'chulu. B'simen kufayin tes, ayin shom heitev. This chapter of Likutei Halachos will be based on chapter 179 in the first half of Likutei Moran, which begins where Rav Nosenzal says that in order to negate and nullify all types of machlekes, the ultimate weapon against it is fasting, tzoim. Rav Nosenzal says, Ayin Shom Heitev, study that chapter in the Likutei Moran well. V'haklal, and now Rav Nosenzal, as usual, will give us a brief summary of what's brought there in the Likutei Moran. Shelevatel kol mine machlekes hu al yedei tainus. If a person feels opposition, whether it be opposition from their Yetzer Hara, whether it be opposition from people that are close to them, sometimes a person could experience opposition from family members or colleagues or even one's own rabbi, or Lahavdil, the opposition that Klal Yisrael experiences from their enemies. Rabbi Nizal says there that in order to nullify all types of machlekes, hu al yedei tainus, the solution to it is fasting. Now, whenever we introduce this topic, this term tainus, we need to comment that those that read about Rabbi Nizal's life as he was growing up, he followed the path with which many, many tzaddikim up until his time had followed, whereby a person who wanted to, who was seeking chassidus, spirituality, a higher level of ruchnius than the norm, generally would try to negate the body in order to strengthen the soul. When I say negate the body, I mean to abstain, to live an ascetic type of life. And Rabbi Nizal writes about it, in other words, we're told, Rabbi Nosenzal writes about things Rabbi Nizal did when he was growing up, even as a small child, which are incredibly shocking. In other words, there are times, Rabbi Nosenzal writes that there are tzaddikim who are 60, 70 years old, who didn't dare to attempt the type of asceticness that Rabbi Nizal was doing as a six-year-old child. And yet, Rabbi Nizal commented towards the end of his life that had he known then, earlier in his life, what he knew now towards the end of his life, he would not have broken his body the way he did. And he emphasized that he came to a realization regarding the incredible, all-encompassing importance of tefillah. Tefillah, hispodidus, tehillim, everything that goes under the umbrella term of tefillah. And he found that whatever could be accomplished through all other types of means, including sigufim tanesim, could be accomplished just as well and better through tefillah. And he emphasized his talmidim that he preferred that they not take on any additional fasts other than the ones that are presented in halacha, in the basic halacha, of course, and including some of the extras like Bahab or Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Kotan, things like that. That definitely the entire Chassidish of, not the entire, those that are serious within the Chassidish world try to keep those fasts, even those that are not standard, you know, that are accepted by all of Klal Yisrael, such as Yom Kippur Kotan, as I said, Bahab after the major holidays, etc. However, to add additional fasts other than that, we generally avoid doing, unless there's a specific circumstance. There's a tainus yahrzeit for a parent, or if a person is seeking, for example, the custom among Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim was that the day they were going to Rabbeinu Zal's Tzion, they would try to fast until going to the Tzion, assuming that they'd be arriving at the Tzion sometime during the day, let's say, whether it be, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 in order, they would try not to eat under normal circumstances, again, as a means of preparing oneself more seriously for coming to the Kever of the Tzaddik. But here, this is one of several chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal gives us incredibly important insights as to the significance of fasting in Yiddishkeit. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Hein machlokes mamish misonim v'oivim," whether this refers to the opposition that a person experiences from actual enemies, "Hein machlokes hayetzahor shebelev," or whether we're referring to the ongoing opposition that each and every single Jew experiences from his own Yetzirah, the internal opposition. Hakol mevatlin al yedei hatainus. It's possible for a Jew to eliminate and to overcome all of these types of machlekes through fasting. Ki kol hamachlekes hem keneged ritzoin hodom. Because as Rabbeinu Zal explains there, machlekes, opposition, means that I want A, and someone on the opposite side opposing me wants B or wants Z. Or shehodom roitze kach ubali hamachlekes hin keneged ritzonoi v'cholkim olav. The person wants something, and those that oppose them oppose what he wants. Usagulas hatainis, whereas the effectiveness of a fast, Issa b'Zohar HaKodesh, the Zohar HaKodesh tells us, Shehu la'achno'o re'usa de'libo l'kutche b'richu. The Zohar HaKodesh explains that when a person is fasting, we know that the natural tendency of a human being is to want food, to want to eat, what we call taivas achila, the desire for food. When a person strengthens themselves and places a control or an extra control on that desire, to say that even though it's basically natural and normal for a person to eat every single day, I'm making a decision that today I'm going to abstain from food. I'm going to overcome that natural desire. I'm going to suppress that natural desire and I make a decision not to eat, not to drink. The Zohar HaKadosh says when a person does that, what they're doing is they're being machnia, they're rotzim, they're subduing and submitting their desire for Hashem and to Hashem. Because again, we're talking about a person who's doing this for the purpose of trying to come closer to Hashem. Because we know Rabbeinu Zal said, even in the last shiur that he gave in his life, the Torah Tikkun Teichocha, chapter 8, in the second half of the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal said there that the body and the neshama usually are on two ends of a seesaw. And the more a person gives to the body, unfortunately, the more they're usually taking away from the neshama. And the more that a person abstains from giving to the body, especially when we're talking about luxuries or excesses, the more the person allows the neshama to expand and grow. I just wanted to add a note regarding what Rabbeinu Zal said about avoiding extra fasts. However, Rabbeinu Zal said to his Talmidim, when an official fast comes, that was one of the fasts that the Torah or the Chachamim, you know, impose upon us, we should grab it like a sweet cake, like one grab, lahavda, like a kid or somebody who enjoys food, grabs a super delicious, a chocolate eclair, or, you know, a delicious, that's how he wanted his Talmidim
to grab a fast. Because, again, based on what Rabbeinu Zal presents in several chapters in Likutei Moran, maybe 7-8 chapters in Likutei Moran, a fast is an incredible gift to a Jew, you know, in terms of, as we're going to see here, what a fast can accomplish and how much it can help us. And Rav Nosson Zal says, by a Jew suppressing and nullifying his own Ratzon for Hashem, as by a Jew suppressing his natural desire to eat, and he's doing it for Hashem because he wants to become more spiritual, he wants to become closer to Hashem, whether he's doing it for a kapora, to serve for a kapora for things he did in the past, or again as a means of elevating himself, trying to detach himself from Gashmius and try to draw himself closer to Ruchnius, by doing that, the person is zeichet to eliminate and to destroy any opposition against him. Bebechinas, as the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzonoi, kidei shivatel ritzon acherim mipnei ritzonecha, ayin shom. The Mishnah says that a Jew should try to negate his own personal desires for the sake of Hashem, in order to accept upon himself what Hashem wants, so that Hashem will make it that all kinds of other people, all other people who have opposing ritzonos to you, their opposing ritzonos will be nullified and they will submit to your ratzon. Ayin Shom, look in Perkei Avos where the Mishnah says this, and look in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this. V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom razal, this is tied into what the Gemara says, kishein shalom tzaim, that when a person is experiencing a lack of peace, what should he do? Should fast. Ki kishein shalom, dahainu sheyesh machloikis, oz tzrichin tzaim daiko, because when there's a lack of peace, which means that a person is experiencing machloikis means a lack of shalom, then what's needed is fasting. Ki ikar hachnoas hamachlokes v'alidei tzaim v'tainus kanal. Because one of the main things that eliminates and subdues, suppresses machlokes opposition is fasting. Avol kisheyesh shalom, whereas when there is peace, dahainu v'alidei hatainus, meaning that a person who zochet to be strong in union of tainus, shaydeze zochen l'shalom, through which a person is zochet to establish peace, Azai sosun v'simcha, then what will follow that will be joy and happiness. Ayin Shom Kol Zehetiv. Look in chapter 179 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses this very, very well. Now Rav Nosson Zal begins his own discussion. Paragraph Aleph. V'zeh b'chinas kedusha seret Yisrael shekoilel kol hakedushos kimavur b'dvareinu kama pomim. With this, we can understand the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, which encompasses in itself all types of Kedusha that exist, as is explained many times throughout our teachings. She'ikar Kedushas Ish HaYisraeli Hu Al Yedei Eretz Yisrael. That the main holiness of a Jew is based on his attachment, his connection to Eretz Yisrael. Ki'ikar HaKedusha Hu Shalom. Because one of the main definitions of holiness is peace, as is explained in this chapter 179 in Likutei Moran. Shekol hasitra achra v'hayetzahora shehem keneged hakdusha heim bechinas machlokes anal. That whenever we speak about yetzahora, sitra achra, tuma, all of those things, they are all under the umbrella term machlokes. They are the opposition. Nimtza she'ikar hakedusha hu lahachnia u'lashaber hayetzahor v'sitra achra shehu lahachnia u'lashaber hayetzahor v'sitra achra heim b'china shalom. So if the sitra achra is referred to as machlokes, then kedusha, the essence of kedusha, which is to subdue and destroy and eliminate the yetzahor and sitra achra, is shalom, is peace. V'chein am razal, and in fact, the Gemara makes an incredible statement where the Gemara says, Le'imotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brocha L'Yisrael Elo HaShalom. That out of everything that exists, Hashem has never found a vessel that's capable of containing and holding blessing in it for Klal Yisrael like Shalom, peace. Shalom is the ultimate kli machzik bracha. Ve'im ein shalom, ein klum. And Rachmano Litzlan, if there's a lack of shalom, then there is nothing. That, what do I mean there's nothing? There's no keli, there's no vessel, because the Gemara is telling us that the main vessel is shalom. Just like the Gemara says about husband and wife, that if there's shalom b'neim, shechina shrui b'neim, then the shechina is with them, and their house is able to be a kli machzik bracha. And chas v'shalom, Rachmano Litzlan, if there's no shalom between them, the shechina absents itself from them, and then the Gemara says, what are they left with? Eish and Eish. The word Ish has the letters Aleph Shin, Eish in it, plus the letter Yud of Hashem's name. The word Isha has Aleph Shin, Eish, plus the letter He of Hashem's name. And the Gemara says, when there's Shalim between them, the Shechin is there. When there's no Shalim, the Yud K exits, leaves, and all you're left with is Eish and Eish, fire and fire, which Chas v'Shalom, you know, just destroys. And what destruction means, ein klum, there's nothing. The Amru and the Gemara says, Godol HaShalom, that peace is so important. V'chein hefligur azal b'makom es ein misper migodol malas HaShalom. And we find throughout Shas, throughout the Torah, there's unbelievable emphasis placed on Shalom. U'bifrat b'divrei Rabbein Azal, especially in Rabbein Azal's teachings, Shemavur harbe me'oitza malas HaShalom, where Rabbein Azal expounds tremendously about the incredible importance of Shalom. Shaydeze ikur shleimu su'emuna, that the main concept of a person being zeichet to believe in Hashem completely is dependent on Shalom. We know that, for example, the Iker Yisroid Ho'emunah is Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh. And Shabbos is called Shabbos Shalom. We introduce the Shabbos by the woman lighting candles, and the Gemara says, why do we light candles? Because that brings peace into the house. Or is synonymous with peace. Validei HaShalom Yecholen Lahachzer Kol Ho'ilam Lashem Yisborach V'chulu. And we find, Rabbein Zal tells us in a different chapter on the Kutumran, that when there's peace, it's possible to bring the entire world to Avodas Hashem, to recognize Hashem. Ve'ikra Shalom Zoichem Beretz Yisrael Kemuvan B'divrei Rabbein Azal B'Likutimran Tanina Simanayin Aleph. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, and we know that the place on earth which is most suited for Shalom is Eretz Yisrael. As we find, Rabbein Azal discusses this in the second half of Likutimran in chapter 71, where Rabbein Azal quotes the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about a pasuk, Chavolim Nofluli Bane'imim. And the Gemara says over there that Le'echod Korosi Noyam, that there's one group of rabbis who are given the title Noyam. Noyam means sweetness. Elu Tamidei Chachamim Sheberetz Yisrael. The Gemara says this refers to the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. Sheman'imim Zelo Zeh Bahalocha, whereby they sweeten each other in the limud of halacha. In other words, each one helps the other one, and they blend together in order to bring forth the halacha, the proper psak halacha, versus the rabbis of Chutz Loretz, where the Gemara says they are referred to as chovlin. They're referred to as the term chovlin, we know today is very popular, chabalah, you know, terrorists, chas v'shalom, meaning, you know, the opposite, that there's always machloikas. And we find, for instance, the Talmud Bavli, versus the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Talmud Bavli is loaded, packed with machlokes. Every single Mishnah, this one says kosher posel, osur mutar, tomei toher. The entire Talmud Bavli is built on the machlokesim of the Tanoim and Amoraim. Whereas generally, the Talmud Yerushalmi is more halacha, psak halacha. We see less, you know, much less machlokes. Even though we know that nowadays the Talmud Bavli is the one that's much more, the Shulchan Aruch that we have today is founded much more on the Bavli than the Yerushalmi, but we need to know that this is a basic difference between the two. Ki Iker Kedusha Eretz Yisrael Nimshach MiYerushalayim UBeis HaMikdash, because we know that the main source of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael comes from the city of Yerushalayim, and specifically the Beis HaMikdash inside of Yerushalayim, Shenikroim Shalom. And we know that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash are given this nickname. They are called peace. Ki Yerushalayim nikras al shim Yerushalayim. Kama shemra zal, ukama shekosu umalki tzedek melech shalim hi Yerushalayim. We know the Gemara tells us that the word Yerushalayim is composed of two words, Yera and Shalom. The name Yerushalayim includes in it this word Shalom, peace. V'chein habeis hamikdosh nikras sukas Shalom. Umishom, or sukas Shalom, or sukas Shalom. We know the Beis Hamikdash is called the Tent of Peace. Umishom nimshach kol kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And the holiness of Eretz Yisrael comes from the Beis Hamikdash, comes from Yerushalayim. And we know that Eretz Yisrael is called Shenekras Eretz HaChaim. One of the nicknames of Eretz Yisrael throughout the Torah is it's called the Land of Life. Shehu Bechinas Shalom, which life is also dependent on peace. Ukima Shekosu, as the Pasuk says, Brisi Hoysa Itoi HaChaim VaHashalom. My covenant was with him. What is my covenant? Life and peace. So we see that those two go together. Umachmas sheberetz Yisrael hu ikra shalom, and because of the fact that Eretz Yisrael is the center for peace, alkein shom ikra hakedusha. That's why Eretz Yisrael is the center of holiness. Ki ikra hakedusha hu shalom. Because as we mentioned earlier, the main definition of holiness and the essence of holiness depends on shalom, peace. Now, a person would say, how can we possibly say this when we know that there doesn't exist a neighborhood on this earth that has more conflict and controversy than Eretz Yisrael, or specifically Yerushalayim, and, you know, etc., etc.? The answer is, this is because we are in Golos. This is what shows us that things today are topsy-turvy. In other words, the Torah tells us that there is no more peaceful place on earth then Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash, and the Jews, and especially religious Jewry. And if we find that today that's not the case, it's not because the definition isn't right, it's because unfortunately we are not following the definition. We're not conforming to the true definition of Kedusha, or of Yerushalayim, or of Eretz Yisrael, or the Beis Hamikdash, unfortunately. V'alkein ikar kedushas Eretz Yisrael nimshach al yidei kedushas hatainus. Based on this, based on the fact that the main importance of Eretz Yisrael is based on shalom, and shalom depends on tainus, so we can understand how the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael depends on tainus. Ki ze yodua, because this is a known fact. Sheikar kedushas Eretz Yisrael nimshach mi beis hamikdash mi kodesh kodoshim sheshom tachlis hakedusha ve'elyono shel kol esra kedusha shel Eretz Yisrael. We know for sure that the holiness of Eretz Yisrael draws from its center, from its heart, which is the beis hamikdash, and even within the beis hamikdash, it's from the holy of holies, the kodesh hakodoshim, which is the peak of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Ki kodshe kodoshim mekudosh mikulan, because we know that the holy of holies inside the Beis Hamikdash was the holiest spot in the world. She'ein shum adam nichnas l'shom kiim kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim, whereby the only Jew that was allowed to enter into there is the kohen gadol, and only one day a year on Yom Kippur. Umishom mi beis kodshe kodoshim mishom nimshachim kol eser kedusha shebaretz Yisrael. We know that it's from the holy of holies inside the Beis Hamikdash that it broadcasts, it transmits holiness to all the different aspects of Eretz Yisrael, all the 10 levels of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Umishom kol kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Exactly. Ula beis kodshe kodoshim lehoyanichnas shum adam kim kohen gadol b'yom ha-kippurim she'ozu yoim hatainis hakodosh yoim tzoyim ha-kippurim. Now we could understand why specifically that day, because that day is the ultimate fast day. That day is the most important fast day of the Jewish people, Yom Kippur. Nimtza shekisho yitzrichen lichnois lehakedusha ho elyonu shel Eretz Yisrael shemishon kol hakedusha shel Eretz Yisrael shehu beis kodesh kodshe kodoshim lehoyef shel lichnois lishon kimai de tainus dahinu ay de tainus shel makipurim hainu kanal. So we see here that when a Jew, when the Jew wanted to enter into the Holy of Holies, which is the ultimate Kiddusha, the peak of Kiddusha of Eretz Israel, the only way to enter was by fasting, and specifically the ultimate fast of the year, which is Yom Kippur. Ki me'achar she'ikr kedusha ha'namsheches b'Eretz Yisrael nideis kodesh kedoshim hi b'chinas sholoim shehi klolis ha'kedusha kanal. Because if we understand that the main holiness that's radiating from the Holy of Holies, from the Beis Hamikdash to all of Eretz Yisrael, is peace, is sholoim, then we could understand al kein lo yehi yichurim lichnos l'shem l'eretz kodesh kedoshim l'hamshech kedusha zois ki ma'idei taina shlomo kippurim. Therefore, it was impossible to enter into there and to make that happen other than through the extraordinary fast of Yom Kippur. Ki yefshel l'hamshech sholoim ki ma'idei ha'tainis shemavatil kol haratzonis l'kodesh baruch hu kanal. Because as we said earlier, it's impossible to be zochet to true peace other than through fasting, because when a person fasts, they subdue and they submit their entire rotzon to Hashem. V'zeh she'evi shom Rabbeinu Zal mikra zeh, and this is why Rabbeinu Zal, in chapter 179 of the Likutei Moran, quotes this pasuk, where the pasuk says, be'etzem hayoyim hazeh te'anu esnafshay sechem, that on this day you will impose suffering upon yourselves, upon your bodies, upon your souls, the day of Yom Kippur, in Pirush HaZohar HaKadosh. Rabbeinu Zal quotes that pasuk, and he quotes the interpretation of the Zohar HaKadosh, Shepirush HaMikra Zeh, whereby the Zohar HaKadosh explains, what do we mean by Te'anu Esnaf Sheisechem, La'achno Re'usa Dolibo L'Kutche Brichu? The main thing that a person is doing on a fast day is he's subduing and submitting his Ratzayin to Hashem. How do we know that? Because the word nefesh in Hebrew means rotzon, desire. There's a pasuk in Parshas Chayisora, in the beginning of Parshas Chayisora, where the pasuk says, where the Bnei Ches say to Avram Avinu, im yesh es nafshechem. I'm sorry, Avram Avinu says to them, im yesh es nafshechem, likbor es meisi, if you are willing to allow me to bury my wife, you know, then put me in touch with Ephron. And Rashi says over there on the word nafshechem, ritzoinchem. So the word nefesh is ritzoin. So when the Torah says, be'etzmo yom hazeh te'anu es nafshoisechem, on this day of Yom Kippur, you will subdue, you will subjugate your ritzoin to Hashem. That's how the Zohar HaKadosh teaches it. Ayin Shem, look over there in the Zohar HaKadosh and in Likutei Moran. Ki mikro zeh be'etzmo yom hazeh ne'emar le'inyan tainus shel Yom Kippur. Because that pasuk in the Chumash is speaking about the fast of Yom Kippur. Ki ikar hachnuas kol haritzonos l'Hashem Yisborach kedei l'hamshich sholoim hu alidei tainus shel Yom Kippur shehu kolu mikol hayomim. Because the most outstanding example of a Jew or Klal Yisrael subduing all the ritzonos to Hashem for the sake of drawing peace, for the sake of achieving true peace, true shalom, is the fast day of Yom Kippur, which is a composite. Yom Kippur is a composite of all 365 days of the year. Kama shekosov shom Rabbeinu Zal b'soif, as Rabbeinu Zal writes towards the end of this chapter on the Likutei Moran Kufayin Tes, al posuk yomim yutzaru v'loi echod bohem. Hashem has created all the days of the year, but there's one day that belongs, that's totally reserved for Hashem. Which day is that? Yom Kippur. V'yal kein v'yom ha'kippurim. And this is why the Gemara says in Yuma that the word ha-soton, he-sin tes-nun, is bigimatria 364. To tell us that 364 days a year, this guy is in business, he's open for business. He's operating. He, the Satan, we just said before, is the ultimate, the essence of Machlekes. He's in business 364 days a year. There's one day that he's absent. That's the day of Yom Kippur. How is he absent? Because we're fasting, and fasting eliminates Machlekes. That's how he's not present on that day. V'yal kein b'yom ha'kippurim mamshichim kedushas Eretz Yisrael mibeis kodshei kodoshim. And this is why on Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael draws upon themselves the holiness of Eretz Yisrael from the holiest place inside of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Holy of Holies. Ki ikar kedushas Eretz Yisrael hu b'chinas shalom kanal, because as we said before, the main holiness of Eretz Yisrael is peace.